Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. So big welcome to this week's podcast, Helping You With Headaches. I've got a special guest on today. We have chiropractor from Rebalance Chiropractic, Rob Spratley, with us today, which is great. So big welcome and thank you for coming to talk about this.
You're welcome.
So that's really good. So I thought it'd be really nice, before we start talking about headaches and what you can do to help yourself with headaches, and it isn't just about the head and the neck, it's about the whole spine, et cetera, which we will talk about today. I thought it'd be really nice to share with you listening how, Rob, how you got into becoming a chiropractor, because you originally actually worked in IT.
Yeah.
And then you said that you lifted a piano and has it hurt your back, and then that sort of what happened then?
Yeah, so I was moving house and I was carrying a piano with another chap who was actually a fireman down the side of the house, and I tripped over a bramble, as you do, and I sort of stumbled, and yeah, the fireman sort of said, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, fine. He's like, is back all right? And I was like, yeah, it's fine, no worries. And I thought nothing of it. And then over the next few kind of days, then I did start to get kind of like some back pain. The first back pain I'd had, I was about 27 at the time, and it didn't get any better. And I kind of went to see my doctor and got some physio treatment, and it helped. But then it kind of came back once I stopped doing the physio. And then a friend of mine said, have you tried seeing a chiropractor? And I went to a chiropractor and found it helped. And I kept going, became quite good friends with my chiropractor in the end. And I think I was sitting one day in treatment and saying, a bit bored with my job, blah, blah, blah. And he just sort of, he planted this seed. He said, why don't you do what I do? And I was like, okay. You know, I thought about it for about a year and did a bit of research and thought, yeah, actually, I'd quite like to do that. So, And it turns out that really me tripping carrying a piano was something that just triggered something that was wrong with my spine anyway. I have scoliosis, so I have a curve in my spine. Mm-hmm. And now I look at photos of myself when I was kind of like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. I can see that I wasn't quite configured correctly, and it obviously upset something. Scoliosis is often a reaction to something being unstable in the spine, and it obviously kicked it off. So that's kind of how I started off for me.
Yeah, and as well as and you also do what do you call it exactly? The ABC, advanced biostructural correction, and then you also do that side of it as well.
Yeah.
How does it work?
So yeah, quite early on in my chiropractic journey, once I was practicing, I went to a seminar in a technique called advanced biostructural correction, and it just made sense to me because what I liked about it is it answered the question of why do things go wrong in the body, why does the body fail, rather than just looking at, okay, this is tight, this needs to be released off. No one ever asked the question why, but ABC looks at the body in terms of looking at the fact that your spine has no muscles behind the spine or the vertebrae that can pull directly backwards. So what happens over time is that vertebrae move into a forward position that your body can't self-correct, and therefore your body collapses at that point. So the body loses its leverage. ABC looks to identify those things that have slipped forward that the body can't correct, and then we do the adjustments to correct backwards. So we're not necessarily looking at things that are just tight and restricted. We're looking at the things that are unstable, because then there are other areas around that instability. You can call them compensations, if you like, that will be the things that become tight and restricted. So, you know, typically with neck pain and people sitting at desks a lot now, you know, it's the fact that the body's maybe collapsing forward at sort of, you know, this level here when you're sitting like this. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cause the pain in the neck and headaches as well, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. So most of you'll be listening to this and not watching this on the podcast. And so Rob just slumped like a banana there in his neck. So I have got a real life banana here. So my top tip is don't sit like a banana, don't stand like a banana. But I think that probably leads us quite nicely on to talking about posture, good posture, bad posture, and perhaps it'd be good to start with headache. You obviously indicated there that headaches is part of it, is a postural thing.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say, actually, so Rob and I met at Business Networking, B2B Business Networking, and you did a really very excellent presentation yesterday, and some very really clear visuals, and you also brought in some research as well about what's happening, and that some of the research is quite alarming, which I would really quite like you to share on the podcast today as well, because I think when people understand what's happening, they're more educated in what's happening, it motivates them more to look after themselves and perhaps I will bother to sit at my desk properly or whatever it might be, because actually that can have some really positive effects. So let's start off with headaches.
So I'm going to touch a little bit on posture before we talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
you are very welcome. I'm a big fan of posture. Yeah, go for it.
Posture is a bit of a buzzword. It has been a buzzword for a while now. And, everyone's probably seen stuff online that talks about things that correct posture, whether they be sort of posture vests and that sort of thing, that pull your shoulders back, make you sit up straight, etc. So I always say to my clients, what's the difference between posture and structure? And I get them to stand. I say to them, breathe in and out and let your body slump. And just let the body go. Now, if when you breathe in and out, your body kind of like collapses forward at some point, that's your structure. That's kind of like how your body is resisting gravity. If you then artificially hold yourself, pull your shoulders back, tuck your pelvis in and that sort of thing, that's kind of your posture. So the problem, in a sense, with people's bodies lies in that that gap between what their natural structure is and what their posture is. Ideally, they should be the same. So what I look for with clients is that they breathe in and out and their body, their shoulders just go up and down. They don't slump forward. They don't wiggle sideways, slump backwards. Because then we know that they're kind of structurally good and that their posture is good. So, posture is almost like an artificial way of supporting your structure in a way. Now, with headaches, then, most people, if they suffer from what are called tension headaches, which is the commonest form of headaches, they will tend to feel that they get tight around the top of the shoulders. They'll get tight in those muscles, just kind of like at the base of the neck, just underneath where your skull joins into the neck. And a lot of the time that's because the body has collapsed forward, so it's slumping, if you like, and then your body is having to activate or overactivate muscles that will pull the head back and pull the shoulders back. And you don't know it's happening because your body kind of like does it automatically, but it adds a certain element of stress and fatigue to those muscles. And that tension can then transfer up into the tissues around the skull and give you what's called a tension headache. So, a typical tension headache will start with some pain at the base of the skull, and then often it will go kind of like to the forehead, and it feels like you've got like a tight band around the forehead. It's not always just resolved though by kind of like doing soft tissue release or around the shoulders and neck, because that slump, that collapse of the bodies could be happening anywhere. It could be happening in the lower back. So I'll have a lot of clients, if they come in with headaches, I will manually sort of push their belly in to support their lower back and hold it for 20 seconds and say, do you feel the headache easing as I do this? And quite often they'll say, yeah, that's kind of weird. And it's because we're straightening the body out and bringing the head back over the shoulders by doing that, if that's what that person's major problem is. So the spine works as one synchronous unit. So it all works together. And when you're looking at any problem, including headaches, you have to kind of look at where the body's failing and what's putting the tension on the muscles in the neck and also on the spine itself. So.
Yeah,
Yeah, because there are many different posture types when it goes wrong, aren't there? I see all sorts of different posture types. And what other headaches can people suffer from? Because when we've chatted about it before, you've talked about migraines and other different types of headaches as well.
Yeah, migraines are of course a common cause of headaches. It's you'll tend to get kind of like a more intense headache. You may experience some sickness, brightness to light, some dizziness, disorientation. Some people get like migraine with an aura as well.
Yeah, like zigzagging.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. There's a less common type of headache that happens more with men than women called cluster headaches. They're not really fully understood. Current research suggests that it's due to kind of an over-release of histamine and serotonin, I think, in the body that's causing it. They're extremely painful. I wouldn't wish them on anyone. They're sometimes called suicide headaches, in fact, whereas people have been known to kill themselves if they suffer from them so badly.
Okay.
Usually they're on one side of the head behind the eye, and often you'll get like a watering eye and a runny nose with it and a slight face droop. They call cluster headaches because they occur in clusters. They can be kind of like a few minutes at a time to half an hour at a time. And there's not really any kind of like known way to solve them, but so happens more with men for some reason. Migraines happen more common with women, which is largely a hormonal difference.
And when we were chatting the other day, I shared that I got headaches at the end of pregnancy a long time ago. And it was actually part of the symptom of preeclampsia, and then had a preeclamptic fit, and then was in intensive care. But the sensitivity to light afterwards and beforehand was just enormous. I think I was in a dark room at the time. So there's so many different types of headaches, and some of them can be life threatening. Obviously, some people die of preeclampsia. And obviously headaches is just a part of it, but at least it's a warning signal, that it can hopefully be addressed and lives be saved with that knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting really bad headaches and they're regular, certainly don't ignore them.
No.
Especially if you get vomiting without nausea, that's definitely a headache you don't want to ignore. Because it can be an indication that you've got a growth in the head or a bleed. So
yeah.
Straight
away. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you said obviously some have need to be taken very seriously.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you help with the headaches from a obviously structural and chiropractic point of view in the ABC work?
Yeah, so I mean I personally, and I think everyone who does what I do, gets very good results with headaches. It's never 100% because you will get times when it's not kind of a structural related thing. But really what we're looking at doing is taking the tension out of the musculature, the muscles coming from the back up to the head. And also, if you think about the fact your spinal cord is a set length, it attaches to your brain at the top end and down to your coccyx at the other end. If your body's slumped forward, it's going to stretch the spinal cord, and that will pull on your brain essentially. It sounds like a slightly dramatic thing to say, but it's going to create a degree of tension. So getting the body into a more upright position, we do something called meningeal release as well in advanced biostructural correction, which just makes sure that there's any scar tissue around the spine that's restricting it. And that's kind of what we do to treat the headaches. So I always say to clients with headaches, I say, keep a diary of these headaches. And you want to keep a diary of three things: how often they occur, how long they last, and the intensity. So we're looking for those three things to reduce bit by bit. Yeah, because they're not going to suddenly just go. But, if someone has two headaches a week, for example, that last 6 hours and 8 out of 10 pain, then that's your starting point. You're looking to kind of like reduce the frequency to maybe one a week and then one a month, and reduce that pain scale as well.
Yeah, and also, so thank you for sharing that. And then you said there can be other factors as well. So what other factors can come into play for people with their headaches, like stress?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Stress is a big thing nowadays. And, you know, anything that can help to manage stress will reduce the chances of you getting frequent headaches and intense headaches. And the work that you do, of course, is a big part of that. You know, my customers will tend to find that they feel more relaxed after treatment because it's taking away an element of stress to their body, i.e. the physical stress, but physical stress and emotional stress or mental stress, they work in tandem. So if I have customers that I think have other things going on in their life that are causing them emotional stress, then I'll talk to them about it and make them aware of it. But that's obviously not my area of expertise, but I try and direct people in the right place.
Yeah. And I think it'd be really fascinating to share with you listening. There was some research you shared in the talk, the inspirational chiropractic talk yesterday. How heavy is their head? And then what happens as you slump, you know, gradually as your head slumps forward another inch, what happens to the spine, the head and the neck?
So the average head weighs around about 12 pounds. And if it's balanced neatly on top of your shoulders or on top of the spine, then your spine is absorbing the weight of that. If you start to experience what we call forward head posture, so that the head is inching forward in front of the shoulders, then that the head effectively becomes even heavier than 12 pounds. In the same way that if you, hold your mug of tea close to your body, it's going to feel quite light. If you hold it a foot in front of you, it's going to feel a bit heavier. If you hold it, you know, arm's length, it's going to feel even heavier. So we call, in mechanics, you'd call it a moment arm effect. But for people whose bodies are slumped forward and their head's forward maybe 3 or 4 inches, you know, that the head is effectively weighing around about 40 pounds, and all the muscles in the back and the neck are having to counter back, to pull back on that, because there's nothing else to stop it from going forward. Once gravity takes effect and pulls it forward, it's going to keep on going unless something counters that. So, and that in turn will create a lot of tight muscles. It will create some fatigue there, but you'll also start to get these adhesions around the spinal cord, these meningeal adhesions that will just become thicker and thicker and thicker. And then with time, it can result in what we call a hard kyphosis. Now, a hard kyphosis is something where if you lay on your back on a flat surface, your head isn't in neutral. You'll feel your head sort of tipping back. And you need, I can't remember the exact amount, it's something like 1.7 inches or something like that behind your head to put it into neutral. It's got to a pretty bad stage when it's like that. It's not unresolvable, but you want to try and avoid being in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always good to seek medical advice when there's aches and pains in the body, or, you know, today we've talked a lot on the podcast and up on the past, talked a lot about the back, but it'd be nice to, you know, give headaches a chance today. And and I think it's really helpful to sort of for people to understand what's happening when they slump and what effect that's happening. And Pilates, you know, is very, very good for the posture. But obviously, if there are aches and pains, it's good to see someone like yourself, you know, for that sort of structural, you know, and as you say, when there's adhesions and all sorts of other things going on, you know, it's obviously hugely, hugely helpful. And you shared a statistic as well. You sent me the research, which is, thank you very much for that, on also how long you're going to live. So what happens, this research was also, well, it was quite alarming, but what happens if we end up with really, really severely slumped posture in relation to longevity?
Yeah, so I can't, I did send you the research and I haven't got it in front of me at the moment. I can't remember it exactly, but what happens is if your body is collapsed forward, you essentially reduce what's called the pericardial space, so the space beneath your ribs that your heart is functioning in. And if you think about the fact that the heart is an elastic muscle, so it contracts inwards and then it springs outwards. It contracts inwards, it springs outwards. If you start to collapse your body forward, then the heart hasn't got the room that it had before to bounce outwards. So you can start to get some turbulence in the blood flow from the heart into the arteries, and that can cause a hardening of the arteries. Any sort of turbulence or irregular flow will cause that. So that, you know, the technical term is atherosclerosis. And in the research I sent you, Beth, then it was done in a care home in the States, and they did a study of I can't remember the number of residents there, but they looked at the age at which they were dying for those people that had what we call a hyperkyphosis. So, you know, that their heart stuck forward, and those that didn't. And they found that on average they were dying 4 years younger. So,
yeah, it's
the, and the main cause of death with this
1,353 participants in that particular study.
Okay.
I've got it here. Here it is.
Yeah.
And what was the other bit you just said?
The other bit that I said was...
Sorry, I missed the very last bit. But I think we've got the overall gist of it, so that's good. But it's quite shocking.
Yeah.
I think wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was educated with this, you know, kind of information? Because I think I was talking to my clients today about TechNex. It's another word for it, and I hadn't heard the expression until much more recently of what TechNex was, and well, the last few years. But I've known about it forever, but as in it's an actual, you know, phrase of the head poking forwards, or even worse, obviously the rest of the spine poking forwards when we're on technology, whether it's an iPhone or another piece of, you know, technology, and what, you know, what's happening with that. I'm always encouraging my clients to after they've been on, you know, I know whether it's, they might even be just been simply writing on a pen and paper, but the head is going down, and then to bring the head back up again. It might be something as simple as that.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because, you know, it's difficult to encourage people to read things that are kind of straight in front of them, because it's pretty uncomfortable to be like holding something out in front of you. I think, you know, as you alluded to, the best advice is to kind of do it in doses and to just take a break and look up, or get up and walk around for a while. Because a lot of people do spend sort of 8-10 hours a day at a computer, don't get up very often, and it doesn't matter how good your seated posture is, how good your chair is, how good your screen height is. If you sit for more than sort of 45 minutes, your body's going to get fatigued, and you need to just get up and give it a reset and do something else. I often say to people, think about how evolutionary terms we've evolved. We're the same sort of physical beings that we were a couple of 100,000 years ago, but yet we were doing an entirely different thing then to what we do now. So our bodies haven't caught up in evolutionary terms with the lives that we lead. And doing things like Pilates or any sort of normal sport is almost just like introducing an element of normality to what we're supposed to do with our bodies, which is why it helps people.
Yeah, I think one of I find it really good when I'm teaching. I'm moving a lot, and I demonstrate one, then I'm correcting, then I sit up, I'm correcting the client. So it's a kind of very healthy for me. It's like a really healthy way to be. But then, of course, I'm writing books. We've just written the Stress to Calm series of books, and that's a whole sort of, you know, you've got to sit at the computer. But I think setting an alarm really useful to make sure you don't sit there too long.
Yeah.
Some people do that as well. That's quite a good tip, because you can get engrossed what you're doing, and people sometimes, you know, forget to look after their body, and they actually, as you say, get up, walk around, have a break. I encourage my clients to eat, you know, as well as that, maybe to have a quick stretch or have a breathe break if they've got stressed, or if they haven't got any much privacy and they're really stressed, to go to the bathroom and, you know, just take a quick break in the bathroom. For a minute, a quick breathe. We're going to do a little breathing exercise today to help de-stress, which can be done sitting, standing, or lying down. But before we head into that, I picked every episode, we pick an positive affirmation card message of the day. Sometimes from happy and calm cards, sometimes from happy kids cards. Today we've got the affirmation of I have good posture. When I sit and stand tall, I feel happy and my back feels stronger. What does that mean to you today, Rob, and for you listening?
I think that sums it up very nicely, especially when you say I feel better as well, because people, if they're sitting straight or standing straight, have psychologists have done research to say that they feel more confident as well, and they make better decisions. You're exactly right.
Yeah, it's also, absolutely. It's very good for mental health and happiness as well. One of my favourite scientists, authors, I've met him a couple of times. He's a really fantastic author, is Dr. David Hamilton. He's written many, many books. And in one of them, they talk about the benefits of good posture. And even in our latest Stress to Calm series, doing power poses, doing power poses with hands on the hips, hands at the side of the head, arms in the air, that with the good posture can bring more happiness, confidence and success as well. Really interesting stuff by psychologist Amy Cuddy on that, with studies on how that helps people get, through stressful interviews or just through everyday work or stress that people might be going through. It can really help as well. Anything you want to add to that before we go into today's breathing?
I was just going to say that when we came out of lockdown in 2020 and a lot of people were working from home, I got a lot of people coming in as new patients who were really struggling with the working from home thing. And it wasn't due to the fact that they were working from their dining room table and chair. It was the fact that they were sitting for longer periods of time without moving than they would have done in the office, where you'd be getting up and going to meetings or going over to chat to Fred by the photocopier or whatever. So, it was that being sedentary for hours that was really affecting people.
Yeah, I actually ended up, when I wrote my second book, initially it was very healthy book writing. I was walking on the beach and I was writing with pen and paper, but then I had to get on the laptop. And by the time it ended up with like deadline time, I ended up being on the laptop too much and I'd forgotten to set my alarm. And I ended up with like an arm elbow injury, like a repetitive strain type thing going on. It's better now. But, it's an example of, sitting too long.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And that repetitive kind of, thing. So we're going to go into a breathing exercise now. It's like a mini meditation. I kind of made up this version of the breathing for you. It's a counting breathing meditation. When I was on a walk the other day, I was just literally on a walk around the block, and I made up this particular version of it. So you can do this either sitting with good posture, standing with good posture, or it might be really nice to lie down for it. But you can even do this breathing in bed at night time to help you sleep better, on a walk, that sort of thing as well. It's quite a short one, so we're going to head off into that now. So decide whether you want to be cozy on the sofa, on a mat. Make sure you've got a cushion behind your head. If you do want more back support, bend your knees. Have a cushion to support your neck, depending on what your posture's like. Anything you'd like to add to that in the setup position there, Rob?
No, you go for it. This is
yours. Okay. So big welcome to your number 1 to 5 relaxation meditation. Sitting, standing or lying down. If you're lying down, bend your knees for back support and place your hands on your tummy or arms down by your side, wherever is comfortable for you. You're going to do relaxation abdominal breathing where you let the tummy rise and fall. So you're going to be breathing in through your nose for a count of 1 and exhaling for a count of 2. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for 2 and out for 3. Breathe into your tummy like a balloon inflating and then relax the tummy. Next one is in for 3 and out for 4. Let your tummy rise and fall and relax your head, neck and shoulders. Well done. Breathe, next one is in for 4 and out for up to 5. Just let your tummy rise and fall. Well done. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for five at your own pace and out for up to six. And then you're going to repeat this one more time, starting at number one. On the next out-breath, relax your shoulders, happy shoulders. In for one and out for two, relax. You know what you're doing now. In for two, out for three, relax. Relaxing your back, hips and thighs. In for three and out for four, relax. Relaxing your shoulders, arms, hands, thumbs and fingers. Let your tummy rise and fall. In for four, out for five, relax. My posture is improving. Relax your legs, hips, feet and toes. And finally, in for five, out for six. My posture is improving, re-energizing, feeling stronger, calmer, more resilient in body and mind. Remember, you can take yourself back to this breathing anytime you like. Take a breath in. You can either repeat it again or take a breath in. As you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes, slowly open your eyes or stay there longer and have a glass of water. Really hope you found that useful today. Enjoy. So welcome back after the relaxation breathing meditation. The wonderful thing about breathing, relaxation, meditation, there's loads of research on it now, actually. How do you feel afterwards? How did you do that? Obviously, never do it whilst you're driving or operating machinery or anything like that. But you can do this just for a minute, you can do for 2 minutes, you can do it for longer if you like as well. It's quite good to have a glass of water afterwards. If you're lying down, you can really let like the muscles like relax into it. And sometimes we don't realize that we've hoiked our shoulders up to our ears wearing them like earrings. We might have tensed them forwards, or especially if we've been going into that kyphotic like slumped posture. So it just allows everything to settle into a better position. And obviously, if you are getting headaches and stuff, then it's really nice to do these sorts of things with the eyes closed, let alone if you have migraines or anything else. It's good to do this with eyes closed. So how did you enjoy that, Rob? and you listening? there we go. So how are you feeling after that, Rob?
I used to do meditation years ago, and it took me back. I remember you used to put the hands on the stomach, and then as you breathe in, sort of bring the hands up, almost imagine they're like bellows and sort of pushing the air in and then sort of pushing it out using the hands. It's like a way of almost like connecting the body with the breathing as well.
Yeah Thank you for sharing. And This type of breathing isn't actually Pilates breathing, I'll just emphasize, but Pilates breathing is actually lateral thoracic breathing into the ribs and the back, so that you can have the deep abdominals engaged during the exercises and your low back a bit more supported. But I do teach all of this type of breathing as well, because it's hugely beneficial, and it's very, really calming on the nervous system as well. So I thought I'd treat everyone to that one today. So really hope you enjoyed that for those of you listening. And then, where do you listen to your podcast? We'd love to know. So what we thought would be nice near the end today, something else I thought about with headaches there. Oh, yeah. Now, I've had migraines in the past and many headaches, mainly due to that whole childbirth incident, but also with whiplash injuries. Road traffic accident, et cetera. Now, I teach a lot of the sort of physio Pilates type basic stretches, which me and my clients find really useful, like bringing the head to the side and chin to chest and rotations and all of that sort of thing. And in the past, when I've had migraines, sometimes I need to just have good posture, do some breathing and go to sleep for an hour in a dark room. Other times, I'll just see what your take is on this. Other times I've sat at the side of the bed, good posture, close my eyes because I'm getting all the zigzaggy things going on. Sometimes I've managed to like stop a migraine in its tracks by sitting on my bed, dark room, close my eyes, good posture, bit of breathing, and then going into ear towards shoulder stretches and doing about 5, 10 altogether of each thing. And then sometimes that just took the migraine away. Now, other times it didn't, and I'd need the sleep as well. So what's your take on that, just out of interest?
Yeah, so I mean, the type of stretching there that you recommend is good in terms of what we call lateral flexion, so bringing the ear down to the shoulder. Mm. That's the main type of stretching I would give to anyone for relief because it's a neutral stretch. What I definitely don't advise is pulling the head down towards the chin to the chest. So people will feel those muscles being tight at the back of the neck and they'll think, oh, I need to kind of like flex my head forward and get my chin to the chest. And sometimes, use my hands to do that. But what you're doing then is you're pulling your head into a forward position. You may be pulling a joint of a vertebrae in your spine forward that your body then can't self-correct. So it might help kind of the muscles for a moment, but you may find, and maybe your listeners will find that if they do that, they'll feel a bit dizzy afterwards as well. But the side-to-side stretching is great. I don't encourage doing head rolls because they're not really a natural movement for the neck. And also, if you're lying down and getting over a headache or just lying down doing the meditation that you're doing, just be aware that you don't really want to have something big and fluffy behind your head, like a big pillow, because again, that will just push your head into a forward position. So yeah, if you're lying down, just think about the fact you want to try and keep your nose pointing straight upwards to the ceiling, because that's a neutral position.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, I mean, I recommend to my clients quite a thin cushion behind the head because we obviously do have a natural curve in our neck, a natural curve in the low back, don't we? So for the neck, I recommend about a 1-inch soft head pad behind the head.
Yeah.
Some clients with very bad posture, it's too low for them, and then they're like, oh, and they're going like it's extension. So they need more whilst their posture's changing.
Yeah.
Seeing someone.
And if you haven't got that, then just, getting a towel and folding it over twice or four times as a means of support is good because you can customize that well. So
yeah, exactly. So it sounds like you're already giving us 3 top tips before we go today. So what 3 top tips would you leave the listener with in relation to recovery or prevention of headaches?
First of all, make sure that you know what the headache is and that it's not any of these red flag things that we discussed. Mm-hmm. Be aware of when the headaches occur. Do you have them when you wake up? In which case, it could be an issue with the way you're sleeping. So, if you're a front sleeper, lying on your front, try not to sleep on your front because it's going to kind of kink and twist your spine up. I recommend people sleep on their side. It's the most neutral position. Try and avoiding memory foam pillows. They're too soft. And also, of course, feather pillows. So I always recommend people use a latex foam pillow because it's supportive. If headaches come on in the day when you've been working, for example, at your desk, then you need to think about what your seated position is. So sit with your hips a little bit higher than your knees because that will help your pelvis sit in a neutral position. The lower you sit, the more your body will slump, essentially. I always recommend people have a slight tilt to their chair as well, whether they use a seat wedge or if they have an office chair that the chair tilts. It just helps to lock the pelvis in position. So what supports your spine is your pelvis. No amount of lumbar supports or headrests or whatever will support your spine. You need to get your pelvis in the right position so that your spine balances on top of that. And I'll try and remember to send you some links that you can share for this sort of stuff as well. That's kind of like the top tips. Also, just keeping hydrated, keeping moving, reducing stress. Don't eat loads of chocolate if you've got a headache.
Yeah, right. Very good. And all of Rob's details on your Rebalance Chiropractic will be in the show notes as well. And if you want to say what area you're in though, because obviously some can obviously come and see you in the local area.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've probably got people from all over the place listening to this. So
yeah, that's right.
You know, I can, if people are interested in doing the particular type of thing that I'm doing, advanced biostructural correction, there is a provider map or a provider website for people to find someone near them, hopefully.
Where are you though?
I'm in Farringdon, which is Oxfordshire. It's kind of like sandwiched in between Swindon and Oxford.
Yeah, lovely.
But yeah, there's practitioners all over the country, you know, we often get people who come and see us who have got problems that they've maybe seen someone else for, and it's not been fixed. And then because we do something different and look at the body in a different way, then we can unlock that problem and fix it. I'm not saying that we're, you know, the best at what we do, but we're just looking at things from a different angle that often someone else won't look at. So.
Yeah, and that can be the key sometimes. I mean, this is a completely random answer to that, but I saw a different doctor once and I found out I had celiac disease. How brilliant is that? I mean, it's not me. Most people wouldn't think that's brilliant, but if you know what something is and then you can do something about it, you know, it means I can't eat wheat and gluten, in case anyone's never heard of it. But, you know, but then you can get better. You know, whether that's your headache, your backache, you know, whatever it might be, or at least improve things, you know, enormously. So we're gonna head off now, and I just want to thank you very much, Rob, for coming on the podcast. Any parting words before we go? But thank you so much.
Yeah, just think of your body and your structure as part of your health. It's not really recognized. That's why I refer to it as structural healthcare. And it isn't recognized because it's kind of like not in the mainstream, but that's not, doesn't mean to say it's not something that doesn't exist. So just don't ignore your body. If it's sending you warning signals, just, you know, address it before it gets worse.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes morning routine on my website. And you can also book your free Pilates taster class at the Zoom studio, one-to-one Pilates program, and mindfulness Pilates classes and more at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.